Good morning, everyone. I'm just going to go back here and read the text for this morning. It's from Matthew's Gospel, and it reflects that hymn that we just sung together. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I will give it all to you," he said, "if you will kneel down and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him. "For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, I looked at the first publicly recorded words of Jesus when he was just 12 years old in the temple at Jerusalem. And there we saw Jesus' identity and destiny as the Son of God beginning to dawn on him. And we asked ourselves, is he Lord, the Son of God? Or isn't he? And since then, Jesus has grown up. And there was the story of his baptism. And a voice from heaven which said, "You are my dearly loved son." Confirmation. Confirmation for Jesus and confirmation for us. But then, immediately after the high of his baptism, Jesus experiences a sudden low. Typical of life, isn't it? One minute we're up, and the next we can be cast down. And in our reading, there from Matthew, verses 1 and 2, it said, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry." This is often a text for Lent. So maybe we'll reflect on what the passage has to say to us during Lent, which actually starts quite soon this year. It starts in about 2.5 weeks' time, on the 10th of February. I'm sure for many of us here this morning, that story is familiar to us, with many different aspects that might speak to us. In my case, after reading both Matthew and Luke's accounts repeatedly, three questions kept surfacing in my mind. Is this a true or fanciful story? What is meant by wilderness? And could any of us fast for 40 days and 40 nights and survive? Scholars are divided about the story's authenticity. Some would argue that it was a vision. Others that it was a mental struggle that Jesus experienced, the result of fasting for several weeks, when we know our minds can become confused or even addled. Others suggest it was simply a story, parable-like, that Jesus used to instruct his disciples. But there is also a body of evidence to say that this was a historical event, that it did actually happen. And I guess that is supported by the fact that other biblical figures, John the Baptist, Paul, took to the wilderness at times. And later, Jesus would repeatedly seek out quiet and remote places for respite, reflection, and prayer. In our story, the wilderness into which Jesus was led by the Spirit was most probably that area between the heights of Jerusalem and to the south, to the shores of the Dead Sea. It's sometimes known as the Devastation, for obvious reasons. It's quite an area. It's 35 by 15 miles, roughly. And sometimes it's also known as the place of demons. I like the way Luke says, Jesus ate nothing at all for the 40 days. Although he must have sourced water somewhere, because we can only survive days without water. But we can, it seems, go for long periods without food. Arnold Ehret, a German health educator, in an effort to try and cure various ailments that he suffered from, stopped eating. And after a while, realized that he didn't or wasn't going to starve. In fact, he felt that he gained vitality and strength. And to prove it, during this period of prolonged fasting, he went on a 1,000-mile cycle ride in the north of Africa, from Algiers to Tunis. And he managed to do it in around 10 days. And so it is in this desert place where the spiritual encounter between Jesus and Satan takes place. It reminded me, and it might remind you, of the book of Job and Job's experience, where God arranged the testing and Satan carried it out. If you are uncomfortable with the idea of Satan or the devil, you might prefer, like me, to think of it as the tempting or adversarial voice or force that exists in all of us at times. Matthew says the encounter happened during the 40-day period. Luke implies it was at the end of the 40 days. But whatever, Jesus must have been famished and at his most vulnerable, both physically and psychologically. And so this titanic struggle that we see is to test what Jesus is made of, to test his unique relationship with God. And in the original Greek of this text, it is a time of testing rather than tempting. So I like to think of Jesus being tested here three times, in mind, in body, and in soul. Briefly, the first test, and it's subtle, Satan says, since you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. It's unbecoming of the Son of God to go hungry. Use your supernatural powers and feed yourself. Show you can operate independently from God. Satan tries again in a second test. And this probably is a vision. And now tests the extent of Jesus' trust in God. He invites Jesus to the top of the temple and says, jump. Go on. Wow the people. Push your luck with God. Force his hand to protect you should it go wrong. And then in the third test, Satan, if you like, goes for broke. Again in a vision, he takes Jesus up to a high place, shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says, all this can be yours. Go on. Sell your soul, like so many other people. All you have to do is let me, Satan, be your patron. Oh, and worship me as well. Jesus' three replies to these tests are drawn from the Old Testament, mainly the book of Deuteronomy, which refers to the lessons learned by the Hebrews in the wilderness when they failed to trust God and abandoned him for false idols. In stark contrast here, Jesus keeps God as the number one priority, refusing to doubt God's power or care, refusing to test God's faithfulness, refusing to be disloyal or worship anyone or anything other than God. Jesus may have been in a pretty poor and vulnerable condition, but boy, he's resilient. No. No, he spits out. We must never treat God as anything less than God. And the encounter suddenly ends with Jesus' famous words, get out of here, Satan. And Satan does, for the time being. But he will be back time and again to test Jesus in other ways. Because no one, not even Jesus, ever reaches a stage where we are beyond temptation or testing. For we all have gifts of one kind or another, and we'll always be tempted to use them for the wrong purposes. In a strange way, on this occasion, Satan has done Jesus a favor. For he emerges from this bruising time in the wilderness, this bruising encounter, strengthened. Strengthened in his understanding of himself, strengthened in his understanding of his unique role and relationship with God. So what? So what are we to take from this great story? Well, I think there are many things you can take from it. But I'm just going to suggest to you and draw to a close with one. Despite our everyday busyness, maybe because of it, we need wilderness experiences. We need time to go or be led into the wilderness. I don't mean literally. I just mean everyone. And I don't mean only believers, only Christians. I mean everyone needs times of quietness and stillness to be alone with our thoughts. away from the normal grind of daily life, the routines of life, to discover and explore who we really are. One reason we go wrong is simply because we seldom, if ever, try to be alone and try to sort out our thinking. Carol June, a Swiss psychiatrist, advised his patients to get to know their dark side. Get to know it, so it doesn't surprise and test us. Get to know it, so that we don't act out those dark urges or temptations which arise in all of us. That's what the 40-day wilderness experience was for Jesus. That's what the 40 days of Lent could be for us, with a short wilderness experience each day. Like Jesus, we need to have it out with our dark side. Get to know the devil in us and have it out with him. As I thought about this, I actually think we're all slightly guilty of taking our dark sides too lightly. We all have issues. We know we should confront, but we don't. And we repeatedly mistrust God's readiness to empower us in the face of challenges or trials, and repeatedly question God's helpfulness when things go awry. Jesus didn't take his dark side lightly. His encounter was a very real spiritual battle. The devil's suggestions to him were legitimate ones, real, challenging. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been tempting. But Jesus is able to draw on all his powers of resilience. He faces down his tempter, and he faces down his dark side, and emerges the stronger for it, and more in touch with who he is. As we discover and deal with our dark side, we too will become more in touch with our inner self, who we really are. And as we discover more about our inner self, we will be in touch with the Holy, with God. And then we will discover God is indeed trustworthy and faithful, and he really does care, leaving us in no doubt. Our ultimate devotion, our ultimate allegiance should be to him, to God. And everything else is of secondary importance. Amen. Heather's now going to hot foot it from the keyboards to lead us in prayer.
Good morning. To dedicate the offering first of all. Gracious and loving God, if we have gifts to bring, it is of your free mercy, for all things are yours, and what we have comes from you. Accept the offerings we make, and grant that gifts which can never be worthy enough may still be hallowed by your blessing and used in your service. And now our prayers for others. We pray for the created world, for those who rebuild where things have been destroyed, for those who fight hunger, poverty, and disease, for those who have power to bring change for the better and to renew hope. Lord, we live in a world in which your presence is easily hidden, and your love and justice are often hard to perceive. Come again to the lands of the Middle East and help your people there to restore broken relationships. Give them patience to break down barriers of suspicion and mistrust, ability to discern personal prejudices and courage to overcome fear. Teach them to respect each other's integrity and rights, and help them to find a way to a more peaceful resolution of their differences. Help those who are suffering in the world as a result of acts of violence inflicted on them by others, particularly in those cases where the men with weapons were not foreigners, but belonged to their own race and religion. Send your love and blessing to those who have lost loved ones in a conflict they cannot understand, and help them in the silence of their anxiety and fear to hear your still small voice of comfort. Lord, bless your church both locally and universally. Heal the wounds of the past and help our efforts to move beyond prejudice towards a true understanding of others. Forgive us when we fail to listen and lift our hearts so that they may be filled with the spirit of your love as we reach out to our neighbours. Be with the leaders of nations who have difficult decisions to make today and are not sure which way to turn. Support them as they try to find answers to the problems before them. Help them to bring an end to fear and oppression and to care for the poor and dispossessed. Loving Father, we pray for the lonely and the lost. Come now and touch all who are in distress of body and mind. Help those who have turned away from you because they can see no way to reach you. Surround the frightened with your tenderness and give strength to those in pain. Hold the weak and helpless in your heart and fill them with your glorious hope for a future where sorrow and sadness can no longer hurt them. Bring your comfort to those who have lost loved ones, thinking particularly today of the families of the migrants recently drowned in their efforts to reach a place of safety. Help them to find your peace in the belief that death is not the end, but the potential for a new beginning. Bless those who have died in faith, the close relative we still miss, the friend whose early death will always be a source of sadness to us, those unknown to us but known to and loved by you. Grant us with them a share in your eternal kingdom. May your perpetual light shine upon them, and may our lives on earth be the richer because of their memory. We know, Lord, that we often have real difficulty in reaching out to you in our daily lives, and that we are often confused by our own efforts to resist temptation and follow your path. Sometimes the glamour of worldly possessions and the attractiveness of a less than ethical means of acquiring wealth or position stand between our better selves and the light of your truth. Help us to wrestle with whatever devils lie in our hearts and defeat them as your Son did. When we are alone in the darkness of our souls, let it be your hand which catches us before we fall, and your love which lights our way back from the edge of error or despair. Give us your strength to stand against all that is evil. Help us to remain steadfast in the times of trial and temptation. Strengthen our desire to obey your will and seek the safe harbour of your kingdom. Give us the courage to stay true to you and proclaim the message of your salvation. Gracious Lord, accept these prayers through the mercy and love of our Saviour, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In our times of busyness, in our times of quietness, may we find rest in his presence. In our times of aloneness, may we feel his arms encircle us. In our moments of joy and gladness, May we remember to give him thanks and praise. And at all times and in all places, know that he is with us always.